Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everybody. Thank you so much for joining us on International Connection Media on Blog Talk Radio. I am your host, Victoria Gaither, and also online with me is your co-host of the day, Stu Frith, and Stu is joining us all the way from Foxton Beach, New Zealand. Stu, good morning.
Good morning, Vicky. Well, it's afternoon over there where you are, but it's morning here, up past 9, Sunday morning, and yeah, it's actually Father's Day too. So that's a pretty special day here in New Zealand. How are you?
I am very good. I missed that it was Father's Day. So first and foremost, happy Father's Day, Stu, and also happy Father's Day to everybody there in New Zealand and as well as Australia, because it would be Father's Day in Australia too that is currently listening to us. I hope you guys and dads have an absolutely wonderful day. Stu, thanks for reminding me. I'll have to post something on Facebook about that.
Well, I hope that the fathers throughout the country sort of get a big hello from their children, wherever they may be. You know, a lot of children are married and they're in different parts of the world or so forth. They get busy doing their own things. And they forget about the father at home and it being a special day for dad. So, yeah, I hope they make contact with Dad. That's for real.
No, you're right, because I always feel like on Mother's Day, it's sort of like the world really bowed down to moms, but I don't always feel like fathers get the same equal treatment or they're on equal footing. So I say mom and dad should be equal when it comes to that. So I certainly agree with you on that. But listen, we've got a lot that we've got to talk about today on the show. It's been a couple of weeks since you and I have last been on air together. So there are things that have built up that we've got to get out there in the universe and talk about and have a discussion. If you're a first-timer listening to us, hey, thanks a lot for being with us again. I'm American journalist and broadcaster Victoria Gaither, and Stu Frith is sitting there in Foxton Beach, New Zealand. Stu is also a lifetime broadcaster and also country music radio DJ or broadcaster, whatever word you want to use there in New Zealand. Stu, the first thing that we've got to talk about, because I just want to get it out of the way, is the coronavirus. So what's the latest happening on the coronavirus in New Zealand? I know that your numbers in Auckland have continued to tick up.
Yes, sadly, that is correct, because we got down to no new cases, and we went for 100 days, I think it was, which was fantastic. But now everybody's sort of relaxed up in Auckland and things have really gone haywire. And yes, it's a jolly shame because it's actually been passed on through one of the churches up there. So that's very disappointing, isn't it? You know, but well, we met hopefully tonight, being Sunday night at 11:59, we are all meant to come back to normal standards. So yeah, well, let's hope. You know, but I honestly can't see it, not the way the numbers are going up in Auckland. I think Jacinda might walk in and put the clamps on him. By Jove, if she does that, that's going to have a few long faces running around here in New Zealand. That's for real.
I like when you say that, a few long faces, I think so. I also saw a story on stuff.co.nz, and it talked about that Auckland police were very disappointed with hundreds of people who gathered there at the CBD for a protest, to protest the coronavirus alert level 3 lockdown. And apparently the majority of the protesters were not wearing masks, nor did they adhere to social distancing rules. So police say that there will be no punishment handed out. There's nothing that they can do but to educate the public. But I'm sure, you know, that must have been a bit of a disaster, and like police said, disappointment to have 500 people gathered, especially when right now Auckland is the country's hot spot.
Well, you know, they say that the police say that all they can do is educate the public. Well, we've been trying to educate the public for many months now, haven't we? Excuse me. And it hasn't worked. And I think the ones we haven't educated are uneducatable. You just can't teach them. They refuse to be taught. So, you know, it's a bit of a loss, isn't it? So all these ones that can't be taught, eventually they're all going to be standing beside the graves, you know, and saying goodbye to their friends and such, I think.
Well, here in America, our death toll from the coronavirus is over 180,000 people of my American family, countrymen, I did have family, I should say that, you know, let's clarify, I had three family members that died from the coronavirus, so yes, I am included in that 180,000, and it's interesting in America because this has turned into a political divide. You have people on one side who say that wearing masks are useless, the coronavirus is nothing more than the flu, what's the big deal? You get more people who die from the flu every year than what you get from this coronavirus. Move on with your life. You know, there should be no lockdown. People should be free to move about and live their life. And then, of course, you have people on the other side who are saying, hey, wait a minute, with the flu, at least we have a vaccine. We have something that, you know, that can help fight it. Mask, apparently, from what the medical community says, has been proven to show that it will slow the virus down, and then you have people that wear the mask. So I don't know if it's like that in New Zealand or if it's getting that way, but certainly here in America, it's turned into a big political divide, Stu.
I saw yesterday, actually, on Facebook when the Air Force One flew in with the president on. I don't know where they landed, but anyway, they had to change air vehicles because they went to a chopper. But when the president walked off Air Force One and came down the ladder, everybody that was around him, not one person had a mask on. You know, that, I was blown away by that. I think that was pretty poor to start off with. So just goes to show you, you know, if we can't educate them in New Zealand, how are we going to educate them over there in America when they become actually a president of the country?
Well, listen, I think America is leading the pack when it comes to non-conforming and non-complying. Not all Americans. Like I said, I do think that it's split. The community where I live, and also I'm outside of Washington, D.C., and inside Washington, D.C., you know, people do wear masks. I can't say that I have not seen anybody without a mask. I have seen a few people that don't have the mask fully up over their nose, and I guess that's because, you know, they just can't breathe and, you know, someone will give them a bit of an evil stare and then they will, you know, pull it up or someone in the store will say something to them. But I can really say that people in my part of the country do what they're supposed to do. But, yeah, it's difficult to sell because if the president of the United States is not wearing a mask, then, you know, other people are going to say, well, if he's not wearing a mask, then why should I wear a mask? So, yeah, I mean, I think it really does start from the top, and it comes all the way down to the bottom. I think our president has only worn a mask maybe one time throughout this entire pandemic, of course, that is still ongoing. But even when the Republicans had their convention at the White House, they were criticized because nobody had masks on. Now, I think the administration says that whenever anyone comes into the White House, they have a temperature check, and people that are around him and the president himself are constantly being checked for the coronavirus. But still, in saying that, I think science shows us that you can be a carrier, and you can also pass it on to other people as well.
Yeah, and it's amazing, you know, how they talk about a vaccine for this virus. I see there's a new talk now about ivermectin. Now, you must really haven't heard about ivermectin, but ivermectin in New Zealand is a cattle drench, a very powerful cattle drench. And now they're thinking that ivermectin might help the human being with this virus. Good grief. I tell you what, this ivermectin, she's a pretty powerful stuff. So it'll be interesting to see what they do about that. Yeah.
Stu, do you think you want to be in the test group and we give you a spray of that?
Well, it's not a spray, it's actually an injection, you know, but Yeah, it's a bit of a worry because you give it to cattle because they've got worms and they're scaring, you know, and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But you start giving that to humans, I'll tell you what, there's going to be a lot of people running around with bowel problems, isn't there?
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, that certainly doesn't sound too good. And that makes me think of when you were out on the scene promoting your book, and one of the things that you talked about in your cookbook when you had to learn how to cook. And you talked about the importance of, you know, if you can grow your own fruits and veggies, and if you've got a small piece of land at your house to grow something, because you talked about back in the day about the drenching that was taking places on, you know, hill country and farms there in New Zealand, and people never thought anything about it. But of course, now you know a lot of that is poison, and people developed cancer from it and got sick and died and had long-term health issues as a result of that.
Yeah, that's correct. That is so true. And it is one of those things, you're damned if you do and you're damned if you don't. Like, if you don't drench the cattle, they're going to die. Simple as that. So what do you do, you know? It's your livelihood. You've got to keep your animals alive and healthy.
Yeah.
So you drench them, you know? But anyway,
yeah.
Let's move on from all that disaster and find something else to talk about.
Yeah, well, I was going to just mention one last point about livelihood. You know, there are a lot of mom-and-pop stores and stores and restaurants that have been in communities for generation after generation that, unfortunately, as a result of the coronavirus, is closing down. And I see the same thing is still happening here, there in New Zealand and Australia, as I follow the news there as well. So the biggest thing that we need to do is just get rid of this virus, which we won't, but, you know, just sort of wanted to put that out there because I know a lot of people are dealing with that and suffering as well. But like you said, on some good news, let's talk about staying with food, a local place there in Foxton called Humble Pie, the Humble Pie Calf. Tell us about the Humble Pie. I have seen the food on Facebook, and it looks absolutely delicious.
The Humble Pie Calf is a new calf that's just opened up in Foxton. Well, it opened up 5 weeks ago. Now, everybody's saying how bad business is in New Zealand with the shutdown of the virus and everything else. Well, here's a young lady. I'm not quite sure how old Christine is, but she's a young lady, and she's opened up this Humble Pie Calf along with her mum, Debbie. And Debbie's not in there much. I think Debbie does most of the bulk buying for the calf. But Christine came from a pastry chef. She is a pastry chef, so you can imagine what her pastry is like on her pies. They're absolutely beautiful. And when she started off, 5 weeks ago, if you take that, 5 weeks ago, it's not very long, she was making 30 pies a day, selling 30 pies a day. And now, she tells me, with all the different varieties of pies that she's making, and there's quite a few, she's selling 30 of each variety these days. So that's amazing, isn't it? And these pies are absolutely beautiful. The pies are beautiful. The pastry's to die for. And I'll tell you what, the filling in the pies is amazing. I had a steak and cheese one the other day, and I'll tell you what, it was full of steak and cheese, and there was no sloppy gravy or anything. It was really nice, you know? So, yeah, with all that in mind, I actually turned around and bought a couple of big apple pies, and they're in the deep freeze. They're in the deep freeze waiting for a special day. So, I'm very impressed with what they're doing there. So, good luck to these girls and Humble Pie. Congratulations. It's well done. It's a lovely calf. It's nice and clean and very bright, and the staff is absolutely gorgeous, and they make beautiful coffee as well.
Well, I tell you what, I've been following them on Facebook. I think it was Debbie, who's the mother that I know, and I've interviewed her before about something else. I can't quite remember what it is, but she asked me to like her page on Facebook, so that was how I sort of came across them. And, yeah, the food just always looks beautiful. It looks fresh. It's always well presented, so I'm glad that you and Tony, your mate, got a chance to go there and have a taste and to let us know. So we do appreciate that. And speaking of pies, we're going to shift a little bit to something that's happening here that I'm working on. So I've been taking CrossFit, And if anybody knows anything about CrossFit, it is extreme, very extreme. You leave there exhausted, and basically you just want to pass out into bed and sleep for a couple of days because it's that tiring, but certainly worth it in the end. But our CrossFit class, our head leader and instructor, Greta, has decided that we're going to do a 30-day no-sugar challenge, and this starts on September the 1st and runs through September the 30th. So I have signed up for this no-sugar. Now, to know me, you know I love sugar, so this is going to be a big challenge for me. But knowing that it was going to take place, I've really, in the past 2 weeks, a fortnight, have really cut down on my sugar so that it's not cold turkey when September the 1st starts, and then immediately I just stop. So that's not going to be the case. But it's interesting, Stu, because I put it out there on Facebook and I said, if anybody virtually wants to do this, you know, let me know and I'll put your name on the board. Really good friend who's a Kiwi that lives here in D.C., Sharon, who works at the New Zealand Embassy, has signed up for it. And then Kiro, she has signed up for it as well. So two people have signed up. But, Stu, I was getting a bit nervous because normally on my personal Facebook page, people are very interactive. They comment. They like things. You know, we have great discussions. And I tagged quite a few people, including yours truly, yourself, Stu. No one came in there for 24 hours and said anything. So I thought, this is quite funny. No one wants to take part in the no sugar challenge. So I finally got two people that is going to do it. So I can't seem to talk you into doing this, Stu. This is a no-go for you.
It's very hard for me to do it, you know, because sugar is sort of one of my additives that I've got to actually keeps me going again, survival rate. But I see Brian Jackson went in and made a comment too. So there you are. You say you didn't get any comment. Well, you did, because I know Brian Jackson made a comment.
Well, I better go. In fact, as we speak, I'm going on to my Facebook page right now because I clearly missed that. And Brian Jackson is a very good friend of ours who lives in Palmerston North. Oh, it looks like Brian says that it's been banned in New Zealand, that you only have pies and beer there. So I said to Brian, laugh out loud, talking about you on radio at the moment. Yeah, I think he says it's banned. You can only get pies and beer. So there you go, Brian. I guess that means a no, but I will keep everyone posted on this because it's going to be a journey. I think for me, it's more of a mental game than it is. You know, the idea for that I can't have something makes me want it. So I think mentally, if I can just sort of wrap my brain around it, then that's going to be something. So go on our Facebook page because and our fan page because I'm going to be posting about this. And, you know, let me know, is there ever anything, a challenge that you've engaged in that you wiped out and you just couldn't do it or you actually were successful in doing it? I'd be interested in knowing. And plus, if you have any tips or anything for me as well, that would be fantastic. Let's see.
Well,
we've
I can
got
help you.
Somebody. Yeah, go ahead. Please do.
I can help you with a tip. Now, look, I gave up smoking about 8 years ago, something like that. And the tip I can give you is just to take everything that you're trying to give up, take it and take it right out of the house. Don't have it anywhere near you. And then you can do it cold turkey, no trouble at all. Okay?
Well, you know what? I think that – so what about the foods and things that I already have? Do I just need to turf that and throw it away?
Yeah, you give it to some poor devil on the street who's starving, you know, and and buy food that – or make food that hasn't got sugar in it. And I'm sure there's plenty of food that you can make that hasn't got sugar in it.
Yeah. For those of you that are joining us in the chat room, thanks a lot. Stu, I actually clicked the chat button, and good God, you should see the amount of people in conversation that's taking place in the chat room. It looks like Mississippi Mike. Hi, Mississippi Mike. He says that he knows a guy who put on his put on a party, it looks like, in San Antonio, Texas, with no social distancing whatsoever. Yeah, I don't know about that, Mississippi Mike. I think you kind of heard Stu and I talk about that. Internet friend has a question for you, Stu. Wants to know, do you grow kiwi fruit?
No, I don't grow kiwi fruit, but I can tell you, listener, I can really tell you that I love it and I eat it. So it's grown in New Zealand very strongly, of course, as you would know. But yes, there's different varieties of kiwi fruit now, and it's quite interesting because we started off with the green kiwi fruit, and then we went to the gold kiwi fruit, and now they're getting a one that's sort of a maroni colour as well. So yeah, that's playing with the colours a bit, but the gold kiwi fruit is absolutely delicious. It's sweet, where the green one is just a little bit tarty. So, yeah, there we are. But I do not grow it myself, sadly. I would like to, but no, I haven't got the ground to grow it myself.
And you and I have actually been to, I can't think of the area in New Zealand, where we took a tour of a kiwi farm, and we saw how they actually grow it. It's quite interesting because it grows like a canopy. So I remember walking underneath, and it was, of course, shade, and you saw all this kiwi fruit up there at the top, and it was quite interesting. So that's Internet Friend who asked you that. Internet Friend also asked you, Stu, to say deck, D-E-C-K. So you don't have to say it. I think it's probably the way that a kiwi says it. It's just going to give him a bit of a chuckle because he loves your accent. So Internet Friend, it's cool having you here.
I won't let you down, okay? So, you know, if you were really putting me on the deck, now you know it, okay? You put me on the deck, and there's nothing I can do about it, but I'm happy to oblige.
There you go, Internet Friend, he said it. Actually, it sounds pretty normal, but everything sounds normal to me with your accents, Stu, because I'm used to hearing you, so I know exactly what that is. Also, let's see, Mississippi Mike came in and said, I want some humble pie. He said, my Uncle Tony has a delicious pie as well. Is also that his Uncle Tony has delicious cake, and he loves the different fillings inside of pies. So, yeah, so it's great to have some folks inside the chat room with us, Internet Friend, Kit Kat, and also Mississippi Mike. We like what you're saying. One last point that I wanted to make. Internet Friend says that masks were used in slave trading to dehumanize slaves, and he wanted to know my opinion. Listen, Internet Friend, I'm sure you're absolutely right. I mean, I did a lot of talks and a lot of presentations on slavery in America when I was living in New Zealand. So I actually am a New Zealand permanent resident, and I live there in the country. I just happen to be back home here in Washington, D.C. in America. And, yeah, that actually sounds about right. I mean, you know, there were a lot of dehumanizing things that were done to slaves and our people. So, yeah, actually that's interesting because I'm going to check into that because you did mention it to me. So thank you so much. So, Stu, great to have folks inside the chat room with us. We're going to move on from the conversation. I've got to give a quick congratulations to my BFF, my friend Ty Milburn. Ty just got promoted to a weekend news anchor position there in Westchester, New York, as well as Long Island. So that's pretty big for him, Stu, because he's the news anchor for both of those regions, which are pretty big regions there in New York. So Ty is actually on air delivering the news right now. So, Ty, on behalf of myself and Stu and everyone from International Connection Media, my friend, congratulations on your new position. And today is your first day, and we know that you're going to kill it and that you are going to be doing very well. Stu, you made a really big debut. I haven't told you this because I've been waiting to mention it to you on air. So if you guys follow me, you know I'm not only a journalist and a broadcaster, but a photographer of events and news as well. So the National Press Club has their annual photo exhibition, which is a big deal. You know, there are hundreds and thousands of people that come to the National Press Club that see our photos that we choose to display in the lobby. Well, of course, because of the coronavirus, you can't see it, but it's actually online. And I should actually put the link in the chat room. So I chose four photos, two from here at home in the U.S. and two from my adoptive country in New Zealand. And Stu Frith, the broadcaster, the one and only, is one of the photos that I chose. We were in Gisborne, And Stu, you can tell them about this burger. So I'll let you tell them, and I'm going to try to find a link as we speak so I can actually post it in the chat room.
Okay. Well, folks, this burger was a humongous burger. I didn't order it. Vicky went and ordered it, and we sat down. And anyway, it was taking quite a while for the food to come. And I said to Vicky, crikey, I could have drunk a couple of cups of coffee by the time this burger arrives. Anyway, this burger arrived, and it was humongous. It was stacked up, and it was so tall that it actually had a spear right through the middle of it to hold it all together. And there's no way you could pick it up and eat it. Yeah, it was a knife and fork job. Believe me, it really was. And I can eat. Believe me, I can eat. And this burger, there's no way I could eat that for a meal. I had to get a doggy bag and take some home because it was just too much to eat. And I can honestly tell you, even when I took it home, Vicky even got stuck into some of it too at home. So it gives you some idea just how big that burger was. It was humongous.
Well, and I'll tell you what, I just posted the link inside the chat room. So for everybody that's inside the chat room, just have a click on it, and you can look under my name, Victoria Gaither, and you'll see this burger. So, and Stu. So what's really funny about it, and what I loved about that photo, because if you know me, I take thousands and thousands of photos a year. It was your face. I mean, your eyes when that burger came on the table. You know, you look like you wanted to say, what in the hell is this? And, of course, it's called the Bastard Burger, and it really does look like a bastard of a burger. I can't remember. Did it have three or four meat patties, pickle, onion rings, lettuce, tomatoes? It had so many different pieces to it that – hence the name Bastard Burger. But that was one of the reasons why I decided to choose you, because it was just your eyes and that you just could not believe how big this burger was.
Yeah, well, it was amazing. And it was a bastard burger, to be quite honest. It really was. And when I saw it, I thought to myself, now why on earth would Vicky order a bastard of a thing like this?
That is absolutely funny. The other thing that I'm actually giggling about is Kit Kat in the chat room, Stu. He says, I actually have a pet kiwi bird named Joseph who is going through intensive care and some type of surgery right now. So, Kit Kat, we hope that your kiwi bird, your pet kiwi bird, is going to be okay. So, yeah, that's kind of sad, but certainly interesting with the conversation, since, Stu is a Kiwi from New Zealand, and I'm technically a Kiwi. I lived in the country and a resident. So, yeah, thanks for joining us in the chat room. Internet friend, Kit Kat, and Mississippi Mike. I like that name, Mississippi Mike. That kind of flows, doesn't it, Stu, Mississippi Mike?
Sounds real country to me, doesn't it?
It does. It does. It sounds
sounds very
country. If you're just joining the conversation,
week,
yes, go ahead.
Sorry, carry on. I was going to say this last week. Of course, we had the big court case down in Christchurch where the that terrorist guy went up for killing all those people in the
Muslims,
mosque.
Yes.
51. Yeah, the Muslims, 51 people. Well, he's been sentenced, and he's been sentenced to life in prison without parole. They flew him out of Christchurch in the darkest of night right through to Auckland, and he's locked up in very high security up there in Auckland. So that's where he will die, and that's rightly where he deserves to die, too, you know?
It's interesting because I'm glad you mentioned that, because I didn't read a lot about it just because other things was sort of in front of me, but I read a little bit about it, and he said, apparently, his lawyer speaking on his behalf said that still he has no regret. He has no regret of what he did, and basically said that if he had a chance to do it all over again, he would do exactly the same thing. I mean, you would think that, you know, by this time, and it's almost been a year, that, he would have time to sort of sort out some things and think about what he's done. But, yeah, clearly someone like that, there's no rehabilitation, there's no nothing that you can actually do for that person.
Well, you know, they all said about this guy, and that there was talk about him on Talkback, and that, you know, that perhaps when he dies, there should be a monument made of this killer, you know. Well, everybody came out in big force and said, no, there should not be a monument made of him. You know, who wants a monument made of somebody who's killed so many people in New Zealand? That's not on at all. And in fact, the voice was in the end that he should actually be buried inside the prison grounds. So that's, you know, he's going to die there and he'll stay there.
Yeah, I couldn't imagine a monument to him. I mean, you know, who in the world would even build it? I think if somebody were forced to build that, they'd probably quit their job. And who in the world would even think about going to visit that? I mean, I just couldn't imagine that. New Zealanders are quite generous people. They're very kind people, but they're not stupid people, and they're not crazy. So I know something like that would never pass. Past the New Zealand public. We are getting to the end of our show. Sad news, we cannot leave the show and not talk about the remarkable actor Chadwick Boseman, who died at the age of 43 years old from colon cancer. Stu, absolutely gutted about it. I woke up this morning and saw it on actually on my news feed, and then I listened to, of course, a message from you. And then you'd mention it to me. Then by that time, I was really researching it anyway. And just, you know, the first thing that came, two things that came to my mind was that he was so young, and also his wife and his family. Those are the thoughts that really come to me first, besides the fans. You know, just must be absolutely devastated. And then looking back on it, you know, he was dealing with colon cancer for 4 years. So in all of that time, you know, look at the amount of movies that he made and the body of work that he did in 4 years while he was going to chemotherapy and while he was sick. And also that all of his friends and family, you know, kept it a secret and it never, ever, ever leaked out. Like I just find, you know, in today's age, no one can keep a secret. You know, to keep that under wraps and key was pretty remarkable.
Yeah, it was. It was. Also, before we get away from it, I don't know, you've got to close the program down, but Martin Luther King, of course, 57 years since he stood at Washington, D.C., and said that he had a dream. 57 years. That's another bit of history.
Thank you for mentioning that as well. Yeah, it's a good tie-in to talking. Speaking about Chadwick, yeah, that's amazing. I didn't go down there to the mall, which is where it was, the steps of the Lincoln Memorial and the reflecting pool. It was, of course, in Washington yesterday. I did not go down. But, yeah, if you would have seen it on the news, there would have been tens of thousands of people down there. And, of course, a lot of those people, because you can't you know, play double standards, were criticized as well for no social distancing and not wearing a mask. Mm. But I saw pockets of people that had masks on, and I saw some people who didn't. But, you know, I just think at that point people were not going to sit on the sideline with the Black Lives Matter, with the racial injustices that's taking place in America, that, you know, it was that important that even through the coronavirus that they decided, listen, we're going down there and march and have our voice be heard. So, yeah, so it's amazing. 50-some years, Dr. Martin Luther King delivering his I Have a Dream speech, and then at the same time we lose a wonderful African-American man who just had so much to give, who was sick for all of those years and no one knew. It's just sad.
It is, and he played such a leading role, didn't he, in the Black Panther. He played such a major role. It was absolutely awesome. So, very sad indeed.
Yep, it is very sad. But on that note, we are at the top of the hour, so I would like to leave the show with, I believe this is going to be from the Black Panther, and also a few other clips from some of his other work that that he has done when he played James Brown and Thurgood Marshall. So it runs a little bit over 2 minutes. So, guys, have a listen, and this is our way of, acknowledging him and thanking him for his work. And we're very fortunate that, you know, we do have him around now on the movie screens. And Stu and I have a personal story because I got a chance to see the Black Panther in Levin in New Zealand when I was there at home in the country. And Stu, you were there to see it with me. So, yeah, a little bit of history for us and seeing that together.
Yeah, very much so. Yes. All right.
Very much so. Well, here we go.
Everybody, thank you, people,
go ahead,
for joining us. It's been absolutely awesome. Yes, it's been absolutely awesome, people. Thank you for joining us on this chat today, and we look forward to being back with you again next week. From Stu and Victoria, we say goodbye and stay safe.
Our weapons will not be used to wage war on the world. It is not our way to be judge, jury, and executioner for people who are not our own.
Not your own. But didn't life start right here on this continent? So ain't all people your people?
I am not king of all people. I am king of Wakanda. And it is my responsibility to make sure our people are safe and that vibranium does not fall into the hands of a person like you.
Hey! Hey, you, where are you going?
The toilet.
Well, come on, boy. You know you can't go in there.
Take that hose out of the tank.
Robinson?
What?
I said take it out. We'll get our 99 gallons of gas someplace else.
Telling you this up front. The NAACP were not like most lawyers. We only represent innocent people, people accused because of their race. That's our mission. You understand? So I need to know this. Look at me now. Did you do what they said you did?
I never touched that woman.
Okay, Joseph. You got lawyers now.
We won't fight! We won't fight! We won't fight! We won't fight!